Okay, so we're on Yevamot Samach Daled tonight. I'll begin from the Mishnah around 10 lines down. 64a, 10 lines down, page 127. So Manitin, Yasa Yisha V'Shaima Eser Shanim Lo Yalda Ino Rashi L'Batel. So if a person has been married to a woman for 10 years and she hasn't borne him any children, so he can't be Mabatel, so his choices are A, divorce her and marry someone else, or B, take another wife. But he's got to get cracking with the period of Rivia. Yersha muteret l'naseh l'acher. If he divorces her, let's give him the answer. Reuben is the first husband, Rachel will be his wife. If he divorces Rachel, Rachel can marry somebody else. The fact that she didn't bear a wife for Reuben doesn't mean that it's like her fault. It might be something like his mazel, but she can marry somebody else. And husband number two, let's say, is usually Shimon. He could stay with her for 10 years, waiting for her to give birth. If his wife miscarries during the course of the marriage, so that sets the clock going from the miscarriage, quote unquote. Okay? All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? Everybody good? We'll see what he should do. That's correct. Well, we'll see. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll talk shortly. Okay? So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, we learned the Braisa, Nasai Shavashana Esther Shani Melo Yalda Yotzi, Bitang Tuba. A person spends 10 years with his wife and she hasn't given birth, he should divorce her and pay off the Ksuba. So even the Ksuba is, let's say, $100,000, got to pay it off. Shemelo Zakali Barot Mimenam. Because maybe it's two things, the way the Arispa said it. One, that maybe he wasn't Zoka to make it from her. In other words, like he doesn't have the sukkus of building from her, but with somebody else, he may have a sukkus. And then the idea is that then he had another idea also. What was the second idea? Right. And the second thing is that maybe the fault may lie with him. That's why he's got to pay off the ksuba. In other words, the first idea is Shema, that he wasn't Zoka, Libano, Mimena, with her. With somebody else, he may be Zoka. So that's focusing on what his duty is to marry another wife. The second halach is focusing that he's got to pay the ksuba because it may not be her fault. It's to be his fault. Yeah. So he says, Afapishin Raya Ladabar, Zeicha Ladabar. And even though we don't have a Ryan Lukrechet for it, we have a remez for it in the Torah, the Gemara says, so it says in Parshas Lech Lecha that after Avram had been 10 years in Eretz Israel with Sarah and hadn't had any children, so Sarah gives him Hagar and takes Hagar as wife. So that's a remez that after 10 years, you have to go to somebody else. That teaches us, in other words, they were married before they came to Eretz Israel. So here, adding something else, that like, in other words, the years that count outside of Eretz Yisrael don't count. The clock doesn't begin ticking in Chutz La'aretz. It only begins clicking in Eretz Yisrael. He says, "Lefichach chala hu o shechal tahi." Therefore, if, in other words, there are other reasons that we can attribute, in other words, sometimes there are other factors you can attribute to not having children. So let's say he was sick or she was sick. O shneim chavushim v'beit asurim. I saw a blurb that the Meiri says, even if they were both in prison at the same time, let's say in the same cell, but it's not like pastish, you know, to have over there. So he says, in olden lo min haminyan, that doesn't count from the calculation of the years. All right? So I'm only Rav the Rav Nachman. Rav says to Rav Nachman, why are we learning from Abraham that it's a 10-year clock? Why don't we learn from Yitzchak that it's a 20-year clock? The Gomer, that Yitzchak was 40 years old when he married Rivka. He says, until they had children, he was 60. So maybe I should learn that there's a 60-year clock, 20-year clock, not a 10-year clock. So Amarle, so Rav Nachman says to Rava, Yitzchak akur haya, that Yitzchak was in fact infertile. So the fact that 20 years passed doesn't relate to the woman, that was because of him. There was other factors. He was infertile. That was 20 years. So the Gemara says, Ihaki Avram Nami Akuria. Now the Gemara is going to prove from Sukkim that Yitzchak was Akur and Avram also was Akur. So then how do you know that even the 10-year halacha isn't coming out such great raya? Now here, it's like there are words missing in the Gemara. So you have to say the Gemara says that I have this extra pasuk when it says, Miketz Eser Shanim L'Shevet Avram B'Yeretz Kana'an, that's an extra phrase in the Torah. That extra phrase in the Torah is coming to teach me, notwithstanding the foregoing, that you have a 10-year clock. But the pasuk that says that Yitzchak was Shishim Shana B'Led Rotam, that's not superfluous. He says, when it says that Yitzchak was 60 when he gave birth to Yaakov and Esav, so he says the Amr Chibar Amr Yochanan Laman Nimnu Shal Tav Shal Shmael the Chesben Shal Tav Shal Yaakov. So the Gemara at the end of Megillah has a whole calculation. If you remember at the end of the first parak in Megillah, so it calculates the years of Ishmael and the years of Yaakov, and through that calculation, it's able to determine that Yaakov was not punished for the 14 years that he studied in the Yeshiva Shem Ba'Aver, but he was punished for the 22 years that he was in Beit Lavan. He wasn't mechabed his parents. So this pasuk, Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana B'Ledet Rotam, we need it for that calculation that the Gemara does in the second Megillah. That's the only reason he wrote it in. So I'll do a few more lines and then we'll pause. We'll take some questions. Amr Yitzchak, Yitzchak Avinu Akur Hayah. So Yitzchak says that Yitzchak Avinu was Akur, he was infertile. Shneamar Vayipar Yitzchak Hashem Lenochach Ishto. Yitzchak prayed opposite his wife Rivka. Al Ishto Lo Neamar. It doesn't say that Yitzchak prayed concerning his wife Ela Lenochach, like opposite her. Melameh Shneam Akur Mayu. They were both Akurim. They both had fertility problems. So So if that's the case, Bayatulo means Hashem listened to his tefillah. I should say he listened to their tefillah. They're both praying for children. The Gemara says, the famous memra, that you can't compare the tefillah of a tzaddik to the son of a tzaddik. Yitzchak's father, Avram, was a tzaddik, and he was a tzaddik, whereas Rivka, she was a tzaddiket, but her father, you know, Betuah was something else altogether. So by Yachalo Hashem heard his tefillah. And there's a whole discussion, you know, I have it like in the Turi Torah, he's got a whole big blur, but I do the parts of the Shavua, sometimes I discuss it. They discuss like when is a Baal Tshuva better as a Baal Tefillah, and when is a Tzadik Ben Tzadik, you know, better. So each one depends on the situation. I think in this case, though, where he was praying for himself, a Tzadik Ben Tzadik was superior. So he says a few more lines, and then we will pause. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Nema Yu Obekinu Akurim. This says, why were our forebears Akurim? Nisha Kashbarach Mitzvah Tzil Tanch Tzadikim. Shem craves the Tzvila Tzadikim, means a Kashbarach who, this is the way they had it, like in the blurb in the Arishal. In other words, he creates this in a way so they will be pulled closer to him. In other words, he creates this deficit in the Avod, and it, even the Avod would have cleaved to a Kashbarach anyway. But now that they need him, they're cleaving more to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A Kaddish Baruch Hu likes that setup. So he says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Lamanim Shlach to touch Tzadikim to Eter. Why is the Tefillah of Tzadikim compared to an Eter? An Eter is a pitchfork. This is Vayeater Lo Hashem. So why is the Tefillah of Tzadikim compared to an Eter? And you know, Rabbeinu Bachya quotes this line also. I think Rabbi Lerner once quoted it from Rabbeinu Bachya. He says, "Ma Eter Zemahape Chatuv Makom LaMakom." Just like a pitchfork. It like flips the tefua from place A to place B. So too, the tefillah tzaddikim is a koach to change the midah of ragzana, which is anger, to midah rachmana. Okay, let me just pause for a second, and let me just say one thing before, and then we'll go on. Now he has a blurb here. He says this is in footnote 9 in the Art Scroll. He says, even though the Gemara's conclusion, rabbinical court must force a couple, blah, 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 to like do this, the Rivash explains that later and lesser generations, this halakha is unenforceable. Since strict enforcement of this and similar laws would lead to widespread disruptions and hostilities in every community. The Rama rules in accordance with the Rivash and Eben Ezer, Siman Aleph, Sif Gimel. And, okay, that's the basic idea. We don't do this anymore, but you get the idea with the whole thing. Yeah, let me just see if I have anything else to see from the sheets, and then we'll open up the floor to questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, one second, let me get up here. Okay, and then here I have also. Okay, I tell you, before I read the sheets, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far?
Yeah, how did they know who was Akar, who was Akara? They were not, as a couple, giving birth. Yeah. How did they know?
So, okay, let me just repeat for the people here. For the people here, I got to repeat for the people there. The people there, I got to repeat for the people here. So Fern asked, how do you know who's the Akara one? So the answer is, well, the Gemara is going to address this somewhat in Amud Beis, but we don't know, but the default is that it's the wife's fault. That's the default. The Gemara is going to say that it's more, all things being equal, it's more likely the onish went to the man because he's Mesuvah and Piri Varivya. That's the presumption.
Right, but here they said that Yitzchak was a car and that
Akar was right. A car. Right. So here, how do they know? You're right. Here Chazal teaches, based on Tukim, that both Avram and Yitzchak were Akurim. Right.
Based on who was davening for whom?
So it says, L'nochach Ishto. But it says, L'nochach Ishto. It's to say, Al Ishto is L'nochach Ishto. Right. Yitzchak was like Yosef saying, Yitzchak was praying for himself, and Rivka was praying for herself. So each had a problem. All right?
Yeah,
right.
Not sure how they knew.
All right. Welcome. Okay, welcome, Baruch Haba. Okay, now, let me just open the sheet. So we went about the 10 years. So the Gemara notes that although Abram lived in Mabasara for many childless years, in Chutz La'aretz, he did not take a second wife until he lived in Eretz Yisrael for 10 years. Apparently, the childless years spent in Chutz La'aretz were not counted. Rashi explains that this is a sin to dwell in Chutz La'aretz when they were living in Eretz Yisrael is feasible. The childless period experienced in the Chutz La'aretz is attributed to that sin. Whenever a couple's childlessness can be attributed to a particular factor, such as a separation or a temporary illness, there's no obligation to take another wife after 10 years because there is insufficient grounds to establish that the couple is incapable of conceiving a child. The words of Ruah rules based upon this Gemara that the Mishnah's halacha requiring a childless man to take another wife after 10 years of marriage applies only to residents of Eretz Yisrael. So the words of Ruah says it's only halacha in Eretz Yisrael. The Rush and most of the authorities disagree with this ruling. The Rush argues that since the overwhelming majority of couples living in Chutz La'aretz have children, it seems illogical to attribute one's childlessness to the sin of living in outside of Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, he finds it improbable that the Amoraim's discussion of this halacha would be relevant only to residents in Eretz Yisrael, not to Amoraim themselves who lived in Babel. The Rush consequently explains that it is only with regard to Abram Avinu that his many years of childlessness was attributed to the sin of living in Chutz La'aretz, since he delayed fulfilling Hashem's command to emigrate to Eretz Yisrael after coming Arzacha. Moreover, says the Rush, Avram was punished for leaving Eretz Yisrael after he settled there. However, other couples living in Chutz La'aretz today cannot attribute the childless years to the living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now the Ramban explains that Avram's inability to have children in Chutz La'aretz was not attributed to the sin of dwelling out of Eretz Yisrael, but rather the fact that he was sterile and medically unfit to beget children at that time. Shem, however, promised Avram that upon emigrating to Eretz Yisrael, he will be cured and will become a great nation. Therefore, the 10-year count did not begin fully after Avram Avinu arrived in Eretz Yisrael and was cured of his condition. So in other words, it's unique halakha, unique to Avram Avinu. Alternatively, that's within the Ramban. Alternatively, the Ramban suggests that when a childless couple emigrates to Eretz Yisrael, there is grounds for hope, or are grounds for hope, that they will beget children in the merit of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, Avram did not take another wife until he lived in Eretz Yisrael for 10 years. According to this approach, even though, as most authorities insist, the Mishnah's halakha is applicable worldwide, if a man living in Chutz La'aretz after 10 childless years of marriage does not want to marry another wife, he can avoid having to do so by relocating to Eretz Yisrael in the hope that he will merit having children there. The Ramah, citing the Rivash, we saw this in the blurb in the Art Scroll, says that the custom today is not to compel a childless man to divorce and take another wife. You know, it's a little harder now. We can't take more than one wife. Okay, I'm sorry. Then, now... Yeah, it does not. It does not. That's a difficult thing. Now, but they say we don't force people to do this anyway. Now, the Rivash wrote that even in his time, the Rivash is Rav Yitzchak Bar Sheshet. He lived, I think, around 1400, and he went to the Balearic Islands, then he went to Algiers. So he says the Rivash wrote that even in his time, it was not customary to force men to marry in order to fill the mitzvah of Puravu. Furthermore, men without children decided to marry women incapable of having children due to age or illness.
Can you slow down a bit when you read?
Okay. It's easier when you come in person. Furthermore, men without children who decided to marry women incapable of having children due to age or illness were allowed to marry, even though according to the letter of the law, we should protest their choice. Similarly, it is not customary to force a couple who have been married 10 years and do not have children to divorce in order to fulfill this Puravu. The Chuvas Bnei Yehoshua writes that although the custom is not to actively force a man to fill the mitzvah Puravu, there are times that the principal will play an active role in the decision of Beis Din. For example, if a couple were to come to Beis Din to mediate a particular dispute, the approach Beis Din normally takes is to reestablish peace between the couple to avoid divorce. If, however, the couple that comes should technically divorce due to Puravu considerations, not only should the Beis Din not attempt to reconcile the two sides, but they should make an effort to assure the couple does divorce. Wow. That seems kind of rough. That's the Chuvas Bnei Yehoshua. Rav Avram David Warman, the Ezer Mikodesh, echoes the same idea. He initially presents a rationale why nowadays we no longer force a couple to divorce so the mitzvah Puravu could be fulfilled. He says the reason is that there is a double safek, sfek sfekum. First is uncertain whether the cause of their infertility is due to factors related to the husband or due to factors related to the wife. Is also not certain that the couple would listen if informed they must divorce. There is also the possible fact of living outside of Eretz Israel and the issue of the prohibition against divorcing one's first wife. For these reasons and others, it is understandable that generally a couple is not advised to divorce, even if they are infertile. However, if there are existing troubles, the dayan should certainly not make an effort that the couple should reconcile, and a strong effort should be made to assure that they do not reconcile and that they divorce. That's kind of sad. All right. Now let me see. Okay, one second. Okay, let me move on. He's got a story here, but yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so I think it's two Lashonos in the Gemara. Like, one Lashon in the Gemara says it's like, if it's like, it's Kilu Yilado, like if you raise somebody else's child, it's like you gave birth to it, and there's another Lashon somewhere else, but it might sort of relate to it, but it's not the full key of a Puravu. Whichever way you flip it, it's not a full key of a Puravu. Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. So we're on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. We're the bottom line. Okay, the bottom line on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. So I'm a Rebbe Ami, Avraham Espara, Tum Tumim Hayu. Everybody has to mute themselves. Somebody's not muted. One time, let me help you out. All right. So Amar Rabbi Ami Avram Asara Tumtum Nagi. Tumtum is a person whose genitals are like covered over with skin. You can't see if it's male or female. It's kind of shocking. The Gemara says that Avram Ben and Sarah were Tumtumim. Shinebar Habitu El Tsur turn page Chutzab Tem Yamakevit Bor Nukar Tem. It says, look to like the rock that you were hewn from and Makevit Bor Nukar Tem, like the pit you were like carved out of. Uchtiv Habitu Abraham Abichem Yel Sarat Kololchem. Then the pasuk continues on. The Nabi continues on. Look to Avram, your forefather, and Sarah, who gave birth to you. The way the Gemara is darshing the pasuk is that the rock represents like the male member. In other words, like the male member is carved out of the rock that represents Avram Avinu, and the female member is like the pit digging. The pit is like the female nakbus, and that's the way, you know, they were tumtumim, but then they became non-tumtumim. That's why the Gemara is darshening it out. He says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Ravua, Sarah Imenu Iloni Naikai. This member says that Sarah was an Iloni, a woman who doesn't develop. Ganemar, but he Sarai Akara in Love Halad. Sarai was barren in Love Halad. In Love Halad, Rashi says, criteria is a superfluous, you know, phrase or clause. Afilu Beit Halad, Inla. So the Gemara darshens out that she didn't even have a Beit Halad or whatever the, I don't know, uterus, the, so he says, Am Rav Yudah Berei Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Mishmei Derav, Oshanu L'Bedorot Rishonim. So Rav Yehudah said, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat says the name of Rav, the halakha of the Mishnah was in the Dorot Rishonim, the earlier generations, Shishnotayim Rubo. People lived a long time, so they gave you 10 years to have a child. Aval B'Dorot HaAchronim, but in more recent years, if people don't live so long, people who have a shorter lifespan. So he says that you don't get 10 years, you get 2.5 years. So 2.5 years corresponds to the amount of time for three pregnancies, meaning, or just one second. So in other words, a pregnancy would be 9 months. So 3 times 9 is 27. That's 27 is 2 years and 3 months. And then you get an additional month with each pregnancy, because that's the month during which you're supposed to like mate with the wife, and she's Tommy part of the wife, the year, and then she's Tahor. So that would be the period they give you. So in other words, they give you sort of like the period where you could have had 3 children, and you're not having any children. So then it's taken, you should get another wife. Then, according to this opinion. Then we'll see in a minute. Then he says, Rabba Amar Rav Nachman, Shlosh Shanim, Shlosh Pekido. Rabba says in Rav Nachman, they give you 3 years, opposite three Pekido, three remembrances. The Amar Mar, Rosh Hashanah, Sar Rachel B'Khana. We know that the Imahot, and Khana is the mother of Shmuel, were remembered on Rosh Hashanah. We learned that in Masechet Rosh Hashanah as well. So it's saying that we're going to let like 3 years with three Rosh Hashanahs pass by. You know, like 3 years establishes like a chazaka. So if during that period of time, you know, and this last year you have Rosh Hashanah, and they give you the whole year there, maybe you remembered and something develops. If nothing develops, then it's time to call it a day. So I'm a rabba, but now Lahani Klali. He says, Rabba says, those column are not true. In other words, the last two opinions that you're getting 2.5 years or 3 years based on a shortened lifespan are not correct, Rabba says. He says, Michti Manitin Man Takin, who is it that established or edited the Mishnayot? Rebbe. Rabbi Meidabi Niman Shani. So Rebbe is living at a time when people aren't living like the biblical amounts of years, you know, like 120, 150 years. This is already in the time of David HaMelech. Man's lifespan was shorter. So we say, you know, on Shabbos morning, we say this Perek in Tehillim, that the days of our years of our lives are 70 years. So we have a shorter period of time. Okay. I mean, a lot of shorter period to live, but you have the same 10-year period to do with the Puru Rabu, with the wife. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I did so far? Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Say again, what? Oh, yeah, but Michael usually doesn't like the story. Maybe I'll save the story for the end. Okay, we'll see. Now, it's interesting, though, if you look at the first Tosfos, he says, it says the Parakintam Tefillah Moshe, that's where it's contained. It says, Mistama David Amaro, it says, Mistama David is the one who said it. In other words, we see David Amaro from 70 years. So he wants to say the Pasuk, that was David Amaro said it. So, at least that pasuk he says was said by David HaMelech. Okay, now back in the Gemara, the second white line. Now the Gemara is quoting the Brisa, the Hamna Manala. So we started off the Gemara. It said Nasa Yisha V'Shalima Eser Shanim Lo Yalda Yotzivi Takes Tu B'Shem Lo Zachali Yibanot Mena. That if a man spends 10 years with his wife and she doesn't give birth, he should divorce her, give her, pay her off the ksuba. Because maybe he wasn't Zocha Libonot Mena. He wasn't Zocha either to have children with her, or maybe probably he wasn't Zocha to have children, so he still owes her the money for the Ksuba. So the Gemara says, Mahay Shemel Zocha Libonot Mena. In other words, we're assuming one side that you know, maybe it's his fault, but that's why he's got to pay off the Ksuba. In other words, he's divorcing her. He says, Vidilma E. Lozakya. Maybe she wasn't Zocha to have children, so he shouldn't have to pay the Ksuba. In other words, if the failure of the marriage is due to some fault on her part, he shouldn't be obligated to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara says, "Ehi came into the mifkida piri v'ribya loma ansha." So all things, the way this Rabbi Packer was saying, like all things being equal, a woman is not mitzuvah on piri v'ribya. So if you see they're not having children, all things being equal, we assume it's a punishment mishmaim against him, not against her. So the Gemara says, "Ehi, is this true?" Va'amru le rabbanan the Rabbi Abba bar Zavda. The Chacham said to Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, "Nisiv itav olibani. One, you should marry a woman and have children." And he had already been married once, so he said, "Take another wife and have children." But Amar Lahu, and he said back to them, "Izakoy habulimi kamaita. If I was Zoka, I would have had it with the first wife." So. Yeah, one second. He's a kaya habulimi kamaita. I would have had it with the first wife. Right. So. One second. Give me 1 second. Right. So he's saying, I have no reason to believe that the second marriage will be more successful than the first marriage. That's what he's saying. He says, but that's contradict. The Gemara says that a man, in other words, a person may have zechuyos with the second marriage. That's what the Brisa says. He may have zechuyos with the second marriage to have children. But here, this Chacham said, you know, why should I take another wife? You know, if I was Zoka, I would have with the first marriage. Then taking another wife's not going to do anything. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, he says, really, he just wanted to like push off the Chachamim. In other words, like that Svara wasn't really the real Svara. And he had this, I think, in Sunday staff on Samach Beis. So it says that he became, you know, sterile as a result of the shiurim of Rav Huna. Rav Huna would give these long shiurim, and people, I don't know, they said they didn't go to the bathroom, and then they became sterile. Do you have anything to say about this, Michael? Yeah, but anything to say medically about becoming sterile? All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, then the Gemara says, Rav Gittel, Yakir, Mipir, Kid, Rav Huna. Rav Gittel also became sterile as go to the shiurim of Rav Huna. Rav Yichelbo, Yakir, Mipir, Kid, Rav Huna. Rav Yichelbo as well. Rav Shesha, Yakir, Mipir, Kid, Rav Huna. Shesha also became, he says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Akharatei, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Akharatei, Suskinta. So he got this Suskinta, like some illness, but it comes from, Rashi says in the 10th hour line, it was some illness, like, I don't know, somehow difficulty urinating, and then you become infernal. So Talgua ba'arza b'bei Rav, b'nacha b'nei kuhutza yarka. They, I don't know, they suspended him from, like, the cedar, I don't know, it was a pillar or whatever, in the base medrash of Rav, the base medrash. B'nei Rav could be base medrash. In the base medrash, and b'nacha b'nei kuhutza yarka, some sort of, something was expelled to him that was the color of, like, the green palm frond. So and that sounded like it cured the situation. So he says, Amar Baka Bar Yaakov, Chitin Sabe Havina. He says, we were gathered in the Peshir from Rav Huna, right? That's the one where everybody became, you know, Akur from. We were 60 Zakanim, and 60 Tamid Chachamim, Mikulu Yaakur, Mipirke Rav Huna. We all became, sterile. The bar may ana, except for me. The Taimi Ben Avshai, Hachwa Tachaya Balel. Is I filled on myself that wisdom will give life to the one who has it. So there's different ways to tie this up. So one way is to say, assuming the way our Gersa of the Gemara is, that this is the same person, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, that they suspended from the cedar tree in the base medrash, and that was somehow curative of it. But others want to say it was a different chacham, and some want to say like this, that it's similar. Some want to say that everybody would get to the shiur early, so they would have, you know, be up near where the Rebbe was giving. But then people would come later, and in other words, the people who were up front would hear it directly from Rav Huna, and the people afterwards would hear from the Meturgeman. So everybody wanted to be there early to hear from the Rav, but then they'd be stuck; they couldn't get out. And so he would come later. He's a Chachma Tachaya Baleha. He's wisdom, and he would come late, and then he could just go get up and go to the bathroom. That's what he would do. And that's I think Ben Ish Chai says something like that. That's what I saw in the Sivta. And they said somebody else also says something similar. You have something in the Steinsels you want to say, Michael? Or any? Oh, okay.
Are you allowed to learn Torah when you have to read the
bathroom? Yeah, so you usually you shouldn't. But if you can't get out, and something you do, I don't know what to say. You know, I remember once, this is years ago, I was in like Lamport Auditorium. So I can't remember what was going on. There was something long going on there. And I remember like one of the people who was on the dais there, he got up in the middle and he walked out to go to the men's room because it's like in there for so many hours.
Just one time.
Right. Right. It was ongoing. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. That's it. Okay. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything so far? What's up? Well, you have to do whatever you can do. That's what... Right. And then that's it. Like Yitzchak, you know, you're by Yater Lo Hashem, like you pray to Hashem for Rachamim. What can I tell you? Like, why were the Abu Akurim? Hashem wanted their tefillah.
What was the question?
What's up?
What was the question?
He said, Rafi said that a lot of things, you can't control it. You want to do the mitzvah, you can't control it. So I said, you do what you can. You do whatever you're able to do, and then you pray, and then that's it. Okay. So I'm going to move on if everybody's good with this, okay? Okay, we're making good progress here, so maybe we'll go slower. Now, Yirsha Muter Bekule. We said that if, again, let's say Reuben was married to Rachel. They were married for 10 years. They didn't have any children. So Reuben divorces Rachel. So Rachel, though, can marry Shimon, even though Rachel didn't have children with Reuben for 10 years. There's nothing to say that she may not have children with Shimon. So the Gemara says, Yirsha Muter Bekule. So Shani in Shlishi Lo. So the implication of the Mishnah is that she gets two shots at it with husband number two, But then if she doesn't have children with husband number two, then husband number three is no, doesn't go forward with it. No, not allowed, right? So the Gemara says, "Manitin mani." According to whom does our Mishnah go? Rebbe, he. Our Mishnah Lechora follows the sheet of Rebbe. And again, we've had this before. He's going to say how many times establishes the Chazaka. Is it two or three times? That's what the Gemara is going to say. He says, "The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Mala Harishon Umeid." Now, this is talking about a woman who has children. So they're talking about a bris milah. We're talking about a different topic, but giving a bris to a child. So a mother gave a bris to her first child and he died. Shane Umeid. Then she gave a bris to the second child and he died. Shlishi lo tamul devi Rebbe. So Rebbe says you shouldn't give a bris to the third child. You did what you could, and then that's it. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, that's Rebbe's father. Rabbi Gamliel says, Shlishi Tamom, she should give a bris to the third child, but if he dies, Rabbi Lo Tamom, the fourth child, she shouldn't give a bris to. So it's a machloket, Lechora, but between Rebbe and his father is a chazaka. Chazaka establishes like a presumption that this is the way that it's going to go forward with two or three. So the Gemara says, Vahatani Ipta, but in the Braisa we learned that their opinions were reversed. So this Braisa says Rebbe holds two, his father holds three. The different price says Rebbe holds three, his father holds two. So it seems as though we're assuming that both are accurate and that they change their position. In other words, sometimes like maybe reminds me of like Rav Schechter and Rav Belsky at Rav Lebracha. So they would have arguments at the OU about different kasher things, and I think I don't know one of them said that like I think it was Rav Schechter. I remember that sometimes they would argue, and then after a while. Rabelski would adopt Rav Schechter's thinking, and Rav Schechter would adopt Rabelski's thinking that they would reverse their shitot. But so we're assuming that both prices are accurate, but the reverse. But we want to know which is the updated opinion. So the Gemara says, so Heminayu Achri Naita. So which brisa, you know, reflects the latest, the most recent, you know, rendition of the opinions of Rebbe and his father. So Tashma, the Amar Rebbe Chiya bar Abba Yochanan, where we put Rebbe Yochanan. Rebbe Yochanan is the first generation of Amoraim. Rebbe is at the end of Zman HaTanayim, and Rebbe Shmuel is his father. So he says, Ma'aseh ba'arba achayot b'tzipuri. So then here's again a slightly different fact pattern. Four sisters in Tzipuri. Shemala Rishonamei. So sister A gave a bris to her son, and he died. Shniu mate, sister B gave a bris to her son and he died. Shlishi to mate, and then sister C gave a bris to her son and died. Revit bat lefni Rav Shimon Gamliel. The fourth sister came from Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Amar La, Shlishi said to her, Al Tamuli, don't give a bris to him. So the implication of that, we're assuming that you establish chazaka with four different sisters, but the implication is that chazaka is established with three and then the fourth not. So now, again, we also assume. Since Rabbi Yochanan is stating this, Rabbi Yochanan would be at the very end of Rabbi Shmuel's life. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel is like coming towards the end of the period tonight. So if Rabbi Yochanan is quoting this, this would be the most recent update of Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. And it sounds like Shmuel holds, you need three times to make the chazaka. Like the first way, right. Which is really the most recent one. So the Gemara says, V'dilma, the Akash Lishit Nami Haba Amar Laws. The Gemara says, how can you prove from that? Maybe if the third sister would have come to him, he would have said, don't give a bris to him or either. How did you prove the fact the fourth one, maybe the third one, we said the same thing? So the Gemara says, in Cain, my Yasuda Tate, Rebbe Chiya bar Abba. If that would be true, why would Rebbe Chiya bar Abba be coming to give the Eidus that this is what he said? And it was the implication being saying this is that was the cutting edge halakha. So the Gemara says, not Mokrak yet anyway. Maybe indeed he held that two make the chazaka. And the fact that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, the fact that Rabbi Chiya related story was for a different point that four sisters also established a chazaka, which is a slightly different fact pattern. So we don't have any Raya Mokrechet yet, either way, which version is the correct one. We'll see. So Amar Rava, so Rava says, Tash the Amir Achayot Matan's code. But Rabbi says, now that you've established, this is like a little bit of a side issue, that a chazaka can be established with different sisters. So he says, lo yisa damisha, lo mishpachat nichpein, lo mishpachat mitzorayim. A person, as a corollary to this, he shouldn't marry a woman who's from a family of epileptics, he says, or from a family of mitzorayim. It's, you know, tzaras. He says, If in that family they've had it three times, meaning we can ascribe like a tendency within a family, you know, to go on. That in other words, so if it's true by sister A and B and C, it could be by D. So true, if it's from the family, it can go on.
Don't marry D or don't marry C.
No. In other words, the A, B, C, and D was the kid with the bris. But here we're talking about the woman, but in her family they have Nichbin, they have Mitzrayim. So it says who did Kasei Plata, that he had three times in the family. So then we're going with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So he says here, so my Havalah, so what's the upshot with this? What did Rebbe hold? What did Rav Shimon Gamliel hold? And what do we hold? So the Gemara says, after Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, when Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Uvda Habit coming to Yochanan Bekdish to Ma'on. There was an incident that came before Rav Yochanan in the Beit Knesset of Ma'on. And that's come up in Shas before with this Beit Knesset of Ma'on. I remember there's one incident, I don't know, this might have been Neiruvin. Remember when they had a Sefer Torah, they wanted to carry it on Shabbos, the Beit Knesset in Ma'on, and there was some way they were able to get the Sefer Torah from where it was to the shul. So anyway, there was an incident Yom Kippurim Shkali for Shabbat. On Yom Kippur, they coincided on Shabbat. Umala Rishona Umeit. Now, the case was like this. Here you have three sisters. So there was an incident that came for Rabbi Yochanan. There's a different case. There were three sisters. Umala Rishona Umeit. The first sister had had a child previous to this, and the child had died. Shni Umeit. And the second sister also had a child and died with doing a bris. Shlishit Balapanab. The third mother comes before Rabbi Yochanan on Yom Kippurim, which is on a Shabbos, and says, should I go forward with this bris or not? He says, Amar la l'chi umuli. He said, go ahead and give him a bris. This is what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Now, we're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan is going to follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, because Rabbi Yochanan is the one who quoted, Rabbi Chibur Abba quoted Rabbi Yochanan about Marsa Arba Achayot. Right. So two times, he's going to go to the bris. So Amar le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Chazi to Kasharidi service Sakanta. In other words, I hope you're being careful about the statement that you're quoting, because based on your statement, you're matching both an Easter and a Sakana. In other words, if there's no mitzvah to give the bris, so you're right, you're violating Shabbos and Yom Kippurim, because the malacha to give a bris, and if you're not chayav of the bris, then you shouldn't give the bris. And there's an Easter also of Sakanta, because the child, you're putting the child in grave danger. So I hope you got this right. Now, the Gemara says, Samach Allah Abaye. So now Abaye, so the way we're going, the Mahalach we're taking, again, we'll see in the Gemara as we go further. So we have the Mahalach between Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel. So we're assuming that Rav Shimon Gamliel says three times to make the Chazaka, Rebbe two times. And we're assuming that the Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, at least by the Brisson. So the Gemara says, Samach la Abaye, Abaye relied on that, on Rav Shimon Gamliel's, on this rendition of Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. He says, Va'azal Nas for the Choma, he married this woman Choma. Now Choma had been married two times before. So the idea is, like, when a woman, you know, marries a husband and then he dies on her, and then there's another husband dies on her, she's a katlanit. So he married this woman, Choma, who, so we'll see you back in the Gemara. It says, Va'azal Nas for the Choma, Barata the Isi, who was the daughter of Isi, Bereid Rav Yitzchak, son of Rav Yitzchak, Bereid Rav Yehuda, the Nas for Rechava, the Pumpadita, Rachva from Pumpadita had previously married her, Bishakev, and he died. And then Rav Yitzchak Bereid the Rabba Bar Barchana, Bishakev, and Rav Yitzchak Bereid the Rabba Bar Barchana, and he died. The Nas for who, and then Abaye married her, Bishakev, and he died. So it didn't work out too well for Abaye. So he says, Amar Rava. So again, if the halakha is like Rebbe, you understand why he died, because the two times established the chazaka. But Abaye is relying on this on the statement from Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef with Rav Yochanan. So Amar Rava, when we eat to David Ubda ben Afshe, like, do you ever see somebody who like risks his life in relying on an opinion like Abaye did? But you hear Abaye himself said to Amar, Avin de Samcha, Yitzchak Sumcha Labar Samcha. Abaye said that statements from Reb Avin are reliable. He says, but Yitzchak Sumcha, Yitzchak the Red, I don't know why he's called Red, but it means from Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Labar Samcha. he's not so reliable when he makes statements. So he came back with the statement that this is what Rabbi Yochanan did. Rabbi Yochanan's relying on Rabbi Shmuel. So it sounds like Rabbi Yochanan holds that three times makes a chazaka. But he himself, Abai said, he says, Avin, why? Avin Yeshna B'chazara. Avin causes all his learning. In other words, he says, and again, Rabbi Yitzchak, in other words, Avin would review all his learning that he learned from Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Yitzchak Shumka Eino B'chazara. He doesn't review all his learning. So the chazara makes a big difference. But then Rashi has a different shot as well. If you look at the Rashi, Yeshna B'chazara, everybody see the Rashi? It's around 20 lines, of the narrow lines, above where it gets, you know, above where it gets wide. He says, Yeshna B'chazara, Chozero Tamudo, Lashon Acher, but a different explanation. Matsui Kol Shalatnei Rabbi Yochanan, he would always be in front of Rabbi Yochanan, that is, Avin. He says, Rabbi Avin, in Kazarbo Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Davar Shamar Tchila, Shemaya Avin, the Chozer Gam Hubo. So, right. So if Rabbi Yochanan changes the position, so he gets the latest update. He says, Aval Rabbi Yitzchak, Inu Matsui Lepanav, Yitzchak isn't in front of him all the times. Sometimes he was using Rabbi Yochanan, but the next morning Rabbi Yochanan retracted it.
Anybody know?
But who ain't know your day? He doesn't know. So he's a little bit wild, like relying on him. So you know, it reminds me. This is Gemara I like to quote in Brachot. Remember, it says also with Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara has Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet. So it's the Sugi of Shlakot. It's around Lam Zayin Lam Chet and Brachot. So there's a question, what bracha to make on the boiled vegetables. So there's a machloket between Rabbi Bar Abba and Yamin Bar Yefet. It's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So the Gemara says, how can you compare the two? He's, among other things, Rabbi Bar Abba, every 30 days, he'd chaser all his learning before Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet wouldn't do that. So it's like A and B. It's like you know, like Rav Shachter says, with Tamidim of the Rav, you know, you're like, so you're right. You got the A students and the C students. If you want to hear what the Rav said, you go to the C student. You go to the A student. So here also. So we'll take it back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says. So let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, "Yiskasumayinu b'chazar, but od Amar depligi l'nimila, but he's doing depligi." In addition to which, I could say there's a machloket between Rebbe and his father. As far as the bris milah is concerned, but who says that there's any machloket regarding marriage? He says. So the Gemara says, "Is it mukrach that same halakha would pertain to marrying a woman? You know, that's going to be katlanit." So the Gemara says, they do have the machloket there. But Hatanya, we learned the brisa, nisait l'rishon umeit. He says, if a woman was married to Reuven and he died, l'shen umeit, then she married Shimon and he dies. L'shlishi lo tinasei divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says she shouldn't marry husband number three. The woman shouldn't. Rebbe Shmuel Gamliel omer l'shlishi tinasei. If Gamliel says no, three she can marry. Rebbe lo tinasei. So the last part the Gemara rejects. In Akinami they have a machloket by bris mila and they have a machloket by nisun as well. So the Gemara says Tishlei megabi mila ika mishpacha derafi dama vika mishpacha dekami dama. So by bris mila I can understand a logic to, you know, establishing like a line of children, whether they're from sisters or from the same family, it's something to do with one family that like the blood is thinner, the blood is thicker. In other words, there's a predisposition, I don't know, whatever the problems are. Dr. Frank says it's hemophilia. But in other words, they have a predisposition to a clotting factor. So I can understand, you know, that you establish, you know, a chazaka with it. Eleni suin my time. Why should there be any connection between husbands who are dying on a woman? So Amalei Rav Mordechai Rav Ashi. So Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Avimi Mehagroni Bishmei Rav Huna. So Avimi Mehagroni says in Rav Huna, Mayan Gorei. Mayan is like the woman's, you know, vaginal canal. In other words, and somehow some illness or something is doing there that could cause death. He says, Rav Ashi Amar Mazel Gorim. Rav Ashi says the Mazel causes it. So, in other words, the woman has a certain Mazel. So the Gemara says, my Binai, what's the nafkamina, whether I say there's a physiological cause that in some way relates to her, you know, her uterus or her, or, you know, like the genitals. He says, Ike Binai, one nafkamina would be, let's say one of the husbands just did Arison and then he died. So if I say it's because of my Yangorain, so here that doesn't count as part of the calculation because he never had intimate relations with her. So it doesn't make a difference. The fact that she did Erusin with one man, then he died. So if I'm going with my Yangorain, it doesn't count to the calculation. With Mazel, that could count. Inami Dinafel Midiklami. Or in the alternative, where the cause of death, he fell from a date palm tree and died, or he said like he was in a car accident. So if it's Mazel, then I can understand that's the race to Mazel. But if I say it's Mayan Goreim, it has nothing to do with Mayan. He fell. Right. So there's different calculations which one you have. So Amalei Rav Yosef, let me pause for a minute. Okay, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that I did so far? Okay, Yosef's got a question that I'll go to the cyber world too. Okay.
Answer why Abaye did what he did.
So I know the Gemara never answered
the question.
Yeah. I don't have an answer to that, but it's interesting. You know, the Gemara says, remember Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, Abaye the Rabbah means Beit Eli Kati. Remember, the Gemara says that Abaye the Rabbah, they came from the household of Eli, yeah. And then Rabbah who's Osek in Torah lived 40 years, and Abaye was Osek in Torah, he was Hasidim, lived 60 years. But I guess at the end of 60 years. And so it sounds like there were different factors that caused it, because Beit Eli. So Beit Eli had a curse. Nobody's going to live to old age. Absolutely. But he did Torah and Yigmas Hasidim. But I guess this Chomer finished. There's only so much you can handle. Okay.
Don't we say for Sakana, it's not that I have to do the Sakana with more strict.
Chamir Sakanta Misura, right.
So
he said, I hope you're being accurate in what you're reporting. So if you're accurate in what you're reporting, then I'm okay. But that was it. Okay, okay, what's up, Rafi? Okay, Raf. Okay, so Michael was saying that from the Rav Steinsaltz Gemara that this is one of the earliest mentions of a hereditary disorder. You mean in world history is it one of the earliest mentions? And he says, and then Rafi was asking, why can't they delay the bris? So Michael says it wouldn't help delaying the bris because it's like a clotting issue. Okay, I'm going to, unless there's any more questions, I'm going on. Okay, back to the Gemara. All right. No, well, you mean, well, where's the father?
The woman's coming to us.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where the husband is. So let's say, okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Let's take a look. All right. So now we're one, two, we're six lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Yosef married to Rabba the Rabba. So Rav Yosef, son of Rabba, said to Rabba. So it sounds like his son is asking him. Ba'ami Nimi Rav Yosef, Balakik Rebbe. So he says that I asked Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is a different Chacham, even though his name is Rav Yosef, it's a different Rav Yosef. Ba'ami Nimi Rav Yosef, Balakik Rebbe. I asked Rav Yosef, does the halacha follow Rebbe? And again, we're assuming Rebbe is two and Rav Shmuel is three. Ba'amali in. He says, yeah, the halacha follows Rebbe. Then I asked him on another occasion, Halakik Rebbe Shim Gamliel. There's a lachafal Rav Shim Gamliel. He says, Va'amaliyin. He says, yeah. So I figured, he's like laughing at me, like he says to me, one day he's Rebbe, one day he's just, so Amalei. So Rava said to him, lo, no, he wasn't making fun of you. Stamehi upashit. Upashit lach. That these are, there are Stam Mishnayot, or Stam, where he's got on the side, Stam Eninu. In other words, there's Stam Rices stated anonymously, some going like Rebbe, some like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. So it depends on the situation, which area in halacha you're dealing with. So he said, Rebbe, it's Rav Shmuel Gamliel. The Gemara is going to explain. Nisuin umalkiot to Rebbe. When it comes to marriages and getting malkot, we're going to paskin like Rebbe, the two mates, the chazaka. Vestot for Shoramuad, Rav Shmuel Gamliel. When it comes to the Vestot and Shoramuad, we're going to go like Rav Shmuel Gamliel. So Nisuin Hada Amran. So marriages, we spoke about it already. So it comes out, the Gemara is paskening like Rebbe by Nisuin, which means the two establishes the Chazaka. So that sounds like Abaye didn't do too good by marrying this woman Choma, who had, you know, Noah had two husbands die on her. Or let's be patient. He says, Malkio, Malkio is like getting lashes. The nun, Mishalak Kavashanam. Now, Malkot, you know, here he's talking about Malkot. If you get Malkot for being over a lav, Sheish Mamasa. In other words, if you transgress a lav, a negative commandment that has a Maisa, and you have Adam, that's where you get Malkot. But here the Gemara is getting Malkot when you were a Chayiv Kare. So if you're doing an Aveira, there would be a Chayiv Kare, and the Eidim give you Hasra for Malkot, and then you go forward with it, so you get the Malkot, and that purges you from the Kare. So let's say a person, so the Gemara says, Mishalaka Bashana. So he had Malkot once, and then he was a repeat offender, and he had Malkot a second time, and then a third time came, when he should also, another Chayiv Kare. So Beitin Konsin Oto Lekipa. So the Bezdin will put him in a chamber. So they'll feed him barley till his stomach bursts, and it's going to be a death penalty. So he says, Rashi says the bottom line. Okay. So I must say, Rashi doesn't mention Karet, but the art school did say it. So I'm sure they have some afarshim that support that.
This is
Karet? This is Rechib Karet. Right? Now, let's take a look back at the Gemara. Now, he says, Vestot did not know. Vestot are like you know, the woman with the cycle, with the nida. He said, did not. We learn in the Mishnah, Ina Isha, the top line is Ina Isha Kovat La Vese Ad She Tikva Ena Shlosh Pamin. She doesn't establish a Vese until three times in the to rely on it. So Rashi brings down, look at the top line of Rashi, Kovat La Vese, the smoke of the Yod Daya Shaita. In other words, the nun, kol ishish la veset dayashaita. In other words, if she has a veset, then we're not going to assume that. In other words, if she discovers blood, we're not going to assume that she was tamei even 24 hours earlier if she handled taharot. If that's the veset, when we're expecting the veset, he says v'lo mitamin la lamafrei amid lei v'o din kavat la veset he's my vesta v'lo bagta. In addition to which, let's say she has a veset, and the time came, but she didn't inspect herself, Tameya de Oreach Mizmanoba. We assume, as a matter of halacha, that she's Tameya, because Oreach Mizmanoba, that the veset comes on this regular period of time. Now, on the second line of the Gemara, Ve'imitaharet Mitaharet that's take care of every minute of Shlosh Pamim. She doesn't undo the veset until she has three times where it wasn't happening.
The fourth time.
Right. He says now, the Shura Muad is the shore that, you know, gores multiple times. The Dan, we learn the Mishnah of Baba Kama, in a Shura Nasa Muad, that she eats both Shosha Pamim. That shore is not a Muad, so it's three times. So,
fourth time is a Muad.
Right. Ashina both Shosha Pamim, right. Right. We're going that three times makes it a Shura Muad, right. So then going forward, it would be a Shura Muad. Now, One second. So you asked me which one did we leave out? Which one?
Bris Mila.
Yeah. So Bris Mila looks like we follow Rebbe. Looks like we're like Rebbe here. But I don't know why the Gemara doesn't mention about the Bris Mila here. Okay. Let me just do a story or two. Okay.
Because here, when we mention the halakha, he doesn't mention
anything. Yeah, so the only thing I saw was, I saw the letter. It was like, you see, by it's mentioned, yeah. it says, you see the mala bari harishonameh, you see by Rebbe, like the bays, you see the bays, so that sounds halakha like Rebbe. Okay, all right, let's do a story, and then that will be it. Wait, say again. Yeah, it's not Rabbi's son? Rav Yosef Bar. Yeah, so that's what we have. That we said, by me name Rav Yosef. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, Rav Lazar Tzadok Torchin Tzatzal tried to spend as much time as he possibly could with the Chazon Ish Tzatzal at every available opportunity. Each time he went, this is from the Al Adaf, he would learn things that could not be learned in any other way. The ideas embodied in the words of Chazal, Shimushah Shal Torah, it was Chazal teaches, Gadol Shimushah Yatami Limudah. When you're with the Rebbe and you see him, how he handles and he speaks to people, it's much greater than just learning things. So he says, being the presence of one's mentor and observing closely is greater than studying.
Slow down. Can you read it slowly?
Okay. I'm running out of time, so I have to go a little quicker. But you can listen online. For this reason, he would often leave a little early for Kollel and make a detour to the Gadol's house in the hopes of learning something. One time he was busy looking in a sefer and trying to be inconspicuous in the base medrash in the home of the Chazon Ish when he spotted a very young couple enter the Gadol's chamber. After a short while, he heard the Chazon Ish say emphatically, "What you are suggesting is impossible. You must wait." After they had left, the Chazon Ish explained to Reb Lazar Tzadok, this young couple had been married a few years and have not been blessed with children. After taking various tests, the doctors have determined that the wife is completely and irreparably infertile. They consulted me to ask if he has an obligation to divorce her right away or if he should wait 10 years. He felt that since the only reason why we wait 10 years is to give enough time to see if she really cannot have children, perhaps in their case, they should divorce immediately. I responded they must wait the full 10 years. Reb Lazar Tzadok appeared puzzled by this ruling. The Chazon Ish explained, to divorce her immediately would be a terrible mistake. The 10-year wait is not only for the purpose of determining whether or not she will really have children, it is also so as not to cut her off from her husband too abruptly. We give her until 10 years to adjust to this and make peace with it. This is in accordance with the verse, Derechad Darcheinom. Although we saw in the postgame that today we don't force the people to divorce. But all right, let me end the recording. Let's take a look. 1 second.